eyes all over the building. Very softly continue playing. Close your eyes. Lift your hands to a very comfortable position. Just put them in front of you, just comfortably. In glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to put your mind on the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, glory, glory, glory. Somebody going through something. You can tell them, show me how to walk. Show me how to let your praises ring. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh. So, God, as you have given unto us this day of worship, your sons and daughters have sang. They have prayed. They have ministered. They have lifted their gifts before you. They've raised a sound into the atmosphere that calls on you, God, to move in this place. Have your way. We are seekers. We are worshipers. We are those in need of thy presence. And thy power. Have your way. Speak to us. In Jesus' name. And let us hear you. Amen. The book of Acts, chapter 8. I'm going to only read two of the verses that were already read in your hearing. Book of Acts, chapter 8. Verse 18 and 19. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Give me also this power. For the next few moments, I want to talk from this theme, give me some of that. You may be seated in the sanctuary. Give me some of that. Everywhere you look, there are new levels of spirituality, new levels of attempts of people to make the divine human connection. There are more books on shelves now than ever in history. Of persons trying to help individuals connect with God. And God is offered in many names now and in many ways. And then these connections to that which is spiritual today are being offered without the mention of God. So it is a godless spirituality. In many cases now, there are individuals who will send you something that is supposed to connect you in a deeper way with some universal, ultimate, mystical magic. And I'm not against prayer claws. The Apostle Paul, they cut up his garment and passed it. But I am against believing that any talisman, charm, patch, or cloth in and of itself has power. I give you a lesson that you should never lose. Never look without for that which is within. Never look without for that which is within. Never look external for that which is internal. It is in the air that magic is all around us. And the world has been filled with great magicians. They can do some fanciful things, and most of which is recognized as the production of illusions. It's entertainment. It's sleight of hand. It's the use of deceptive devices so that they can trick the eye to see an elephant disappear. And for the entertainment value, there's absolutely unequivocally nothing wrong with that. But the magic around us today mortars more on the magic of ancient times of sorcery, where individuals try to make you believe that they have power that is not their own. Here's the case in the text before us. It is Simon who we add the tagline of sorcerer. It is him who has been made famous by doing feats in front of people. So much so, he would become known as a great man in that area. He was seen as somebody who had tremendous powers, supernatural powers, the kind of powers that through his incantations would result in having control over supernatural agencies. The kind of power that he brought the forces of the universe to the very lips of his incantation. And that kind of powerful success breeds hubris and pride, so that when the true power, when God's anointed people began to move out of Jerusalem into community, they began to see demonstration of real power. Not illusion, actual miracles. The text says that before the apostles arrive, they're there preaching, and they said, unclean spirits came crying out, verse 7. Many who were sick with the palsy were healed. Lame people began to walk. And it happened that it was going on, and the healings and deliverance were so great that there was great joy, verse 8, in that city. When real power came, false power had to take a back seat. Because you will never in life accept the artificial when you can have the real thing. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Ain't nothing like the real thing. You younger people have no idea, but some of these older folks are having flashbacks right now. I got to bring them back to church. Pie, come on back to church. Y'all come on back. Y'all got to bring y'all. Yeah. Here, as miracles, actual miracles, started happening, Simon got caught up in hearing truth. And the truth he heard was so powerful that he accepted it. He believed who Jesus was. He believed the message of the gospel. Here's where it gets scary. Because sometimes believing is not enough if you're not ready to change. I was preaching one time in the city, and I was a younger preacher. I preached much harder, yelled. I was holding back in my head. I was sweating real hard. I was going for it. I knew I'd preached. A lot of folks came up to the altar, got saved. When I got finished, and people there, a man came up to me afterwards. He said, Rev, I'm going to tell you something. That's some of the best preaching I ever heard. And when I really want to do right, I'm going to come back and see you. It's not enough if you're not ready to change. Simon believed. He accepted the message. And when the word got out that the Samaritans had received the word of God, Peter and John made their way to the area of Samaria. Now, I'll get into this in 2 weeks, but not right now. I'll talk about what this really means in terms of this reuniting. I could go there, but I won't. This connection that is happening here that is just awesome and it feels so good. That reuniting that is taking place, that takes place between siblings that have been stuck in rivalry over doctrine and theology. That part which is powerful here, but let me stick with this miracle here. Here it is. Peter and John make their way there. And when they come looking for, now that they have received the word of God, have they received the Holy Ghost? Have they received the Holy Spirit? Now, what you don't know is this is a pivotal moment for them and Christendom in general. Because if they cannot receive it, or if they do not receive it, then will this gospel be a mass appeal message? Or do you have to be perfectly aligned with the principles that now rock bottom Israel? This is a pivotal moment. Does this message carry beyond Jews? Does this message have Gentile preaching power? Does this message have borderline Jewish power? Does this message have power for those who have been kicked out? Or those who have been ostracized? Or those who have been looked down upon? Those who have been lost, least, left out, left behind, and even left for dead? The great experiment is about to happen. And here, they lay hands on them. And they, too, receive the Holy Ghost. Ah, glory. Some of you who have not yet, and I'm going to get to this, I'm working on a series here, so I'm not trying to overwhelm you because I'm trying to take you somewhere. And I'm not just want to give you information, I want to make you move with it. But some of you who have the Holy Spirit have not yet entered into an activated state. Because what they did was not simply call down the Holy Spirit, because you don't have to bring down that which is already here. Instead, they activated that which God was doing in the earth realm in the lives of those who were hearing the message. I digress for a moment, but let me do so. I'll shorten the message if I have to, but let me digress. I want to give this to somebody sitting to me listening right now. You heard the word. You believed the word. You accepted the word. You asked God into your life. And you've never experienced the Holy Ghost. Okay. You heard the word. You believed the word. But you've never experienced the Holy Ghost. Close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to get this in your heart. Because there's no reason for you not to have full benefit of your salvation. There's no reason. Now I want you just to examine yourself. Is he talking to me? Am I the one that needs to have my spirit renewed, my anointing infused? Is he talking to me, Lord? The presence of God is in this place. And it's upon you right now. Glory to God. Hey, glory. Hey, glory. Hey, glory. I want you right now to just say, Lord, today. Lord, today. Activate that which is in me, so that I receive an awareness of your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, all I want you to do is just keep saying, Lord, make me aware of your presence. don't stop. You don't, Lord, make me aware of your presence. Make me aware of your presence. Hey, glory, make me aware of your presence. Any way you want to make me aware, if it's a quickening, if you want a tear, anything, God, just make me aware of your presence. Let me know I'm not alone. Make me aware of your presence. I want to be aware of your presence. I don't want you to be hidden from me. I don't want you to be hidden out of my sight, out of my presence, out of my spirit. Make me aware of your presence. Glory, 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 glory. Here we are. I'm going to do this as quickly as I can. I'm going to talk about this later in this series, probably 2 weeks from now. But I want to say this to you now. You know, some of you, how many of you have cars that have like Sirius radio or satellite and that stuff in it? Anybody got a car? Thank you. When you got your vehicle, you know, that was already in it. You didn't have to put it in there. It was in it. Now, many of you have it in your car, but you don't have a subscription. It didn't leave your car. It's still there. It still connects with the satellite every time you start it up. The only problem is you don't have a subscription because what? You refused activation. And until you activate your subscription, you will have that which is the best technology for listening to music and any station you like, available, but inaccessible, because you won't put in what it takes to get that which you can get out of it, which may improve your quality of life and for sure the quality of your ride. I'm just saying. I'm just talking. Okay. Look, I don't have much time, so I want to give you these. I'm going to give you three quick things I think that speak to what Simon is into. Simon sees them. He hears the message. You can read this again yourself. When he hears the message, knowing what he knows and knowing how good he is at performance, did I say it again? At performance, he knows that if he can get power to match performance, that the stage would be his. Are y'all listening? Real quick, I'm almost done. Here, check this out. First problem he has is, and it's a good and bad thing. He has right desire, but the wrong motivation. Got the right desire, but the wrong motivation. He wants the anointing. He wants God's power in his life, but he's motivated by something other than worship. He's got the right discernment, but the wrong mindset. Why do you say that? Because his mind is now set on making money, using God. And I was talking to my good friend, Dr. L.P. Harding Jr., And he said to me yesterday, he said, when are people going to figure out that you can't pimp God? There are a lot of folk who are charlatans who are just trying to pimp God. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm on one today. Listen, the third thing is he's got the right demand. Give me. But the wrong means. Because he thinks he can get it with money. In case you don't know this, money doesn't motivate divinity. I know we teach seeding, we teach tithing, we teach giving, but God, you are giving from the blessing you've already received. You can't seed, give, or tithe if you haven't already been blessed. What you and I have to get to in this life is that we have got to recognize three things, and I'm going to stop because I don't have time to get to my A's. Okay, watch this. We've got to recognize something he did. Number one, we've got to recognize the gift's unction. The gift's unction. Unction. Now, this is important, and I want you to get this into your spirit. Get this into your spirit. We've got to recognize that by unction, we're referring to the anointing of the Holy Spirit that infuses the powerful presence of God into the life and action of the believer. That's what the unction is. You need to recognize it. Now, I'm going here after talking about activation, after talking about getting yourself in line with the Holy Spirit. Why am I going here? Because, see, if you don't recognize value added, then you won't pay a price for it. Let me say it again. If you don't recognize value added, you will not pay a price for it, okay? So if you go into a store and there are two refrigerators side by side and one is $6,000 and one is $600 and you can afford the $6,000, you will not buy it if you don't recognize value added. Are you with me? And until you recognize the value of receiving and walking in and abiding in the Holy Spirit, you will not be willing to pay the price to have what God has for you. You know, I've been waiting all my life to break this down like God's letting me do it today. I tell you, I'm wanting to share this because it's so in my heart, and I'm really just feeling like God wants to do something for somebody. Second part of that is he rationalized the gift's utility. So what you have to do for yourself is to sit back and say, what will this do for my life? What impact will I have? What impact will this thing have? What change will this have for me? Only you can do this. Because see, when you get to the point where you realize that real genuine spirituality and relationship with God is worth it, you will sit back and say, man, you can't tell me nothing. I know what God does. Okay. And what you cannot do, here's the thing that he does and you cannot do, is you cannot rip off the gift's usefulness. You will not be able to rip it off. I don't care how many fake folks are out there. I don't care how many false prophets arise. I don't care how many pimping preachers come. You have to realize you will never get away with ripping off the gift's usefulness. This anointing comes from God. This anointing is to make your life better. This anointing will keep you sane when everything around you is going crazy. This anointing will let you sleep when every situation you're dealing with says you should be up pacing the floor all night long. This anointing will give you the kind of foundation that allows you to stand even on sinking sand. This anointing will open up your eyes so that you'll see the very salvation of the Lord. And what God wants to give you now is something much greater than you've ever seen before. Something within that'll withhold the rain. Something within you may not be able to explain, but one thing you'll know, if Jesus is with you, you'll make it with this true anointing. You ought to say, give me some of that. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The doors of the church are open. You can come today by letter, by Christian experience, or as candidate for baptism. I welcome you to Shiloh Day. I'm going somewhere with this message. Don't think I'm even close to the end. Right now upstairs, they have several slides I couldn't get to today. But it's worth it, because I believe God wants to do something special. I love you all with the love of the Lord. I want to welcome you. If you're here today, you don't have a church home, you want to make Shiloh your home, and us your family, we welcome you today. If you're online, you can join us as well. You can write us or email us. But right now in the sanctuary, with every head bowed and every eye closed, thank you, Lord. If there be someone, yeah, anointing.
Anointing fall on me.
Anointing.
Anointing fall on me.
Anointing.
Anointing fall on me.
Let the power.
Let the power. The Holy Ghost fall on me.
Anointing.
Anointing fall on me.
One more time. Anointing, yeah.
Anointing. Woo. Fall.
anointing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the you may be seated in the sanctuary. I love you all with the love of the Lord. I really do. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about Jesus. Amen. We're getting ready to receive our tithes and our offerings, your gifts. Get your gifts together, whatever it is that God has laid on your heart to give. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me in tithes and an offering. You're cursed with a curse. You rob me of this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Might be meat in my house and brew me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Found out open the windows of heaven. For our blessings you have room enough not to receive. Get your gifts, whatever God laid on your heart. Get your gifts, your capital stewardship. Put them in your envelope. If you're giving online, you're giving in sanctuary and give online as well. You can give by through Givelify, through Cash App. Get your gifts ready. And then on the way out the door, just leave your gifts at the door. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you. We thank you. We give, God, not trying to bribe you, but trying to say thank you. Because we know, God, if it were not for you on our side, we wouldn't have the job we have. If it were not for you on our side, doors that have been opened to us would have been closed. If it were not for you on our side, we would have not gotten the education we needed to even qualify. But thank you. And all the days of our life, we won't be able to thank you enough for all of your goodness. Bless us, even as we bless you. Return it 100-fold plus. In Jesus' name, amen.